ladies and gentlemen, about a month and a half ago, I had this gentleman on the phone with me as a guest, and I was very much infatuated with his book, Okay, God, Now What? And I read the book, and believe me, it's a book that absolutely, it had to take him a lot of time and effort to write. It's not just a book, it's kind of a study manual, if you will, for everything that goes on in our lives and also how it relates to the Bible. I hope I'm giving a fairly good analogy there. Donald Mann, how are you this morning, sir?
Hey, I'm doing just great. Glad to hear you, Zeb.
Well, listen, Don, I really enjoyed this book. And like I said a moment ago, it's a great study manual. It's not the kind of a book that's going to be a fast read some evening between television shows. It's one of those kind of books that you've got to really sit and ponder and remember, whether it's Hebrews 13:15 or whether it's John 2:27. You really have to ponder everything that you put in this book, and it had to have taken you a long time to put this all together.
Well, I would tell you that the book is kind of like one of those overnight wonders that took 30 years in the making. That would be pretty much the basis of how that the book came about. It actually came about when I got asked the question, how did I turn around a company? And in 6 years with the same people, no change in staff, go from a losing proposition to $500 million in sales? And that got me thinking about and started seeking, okay, how did that work? What did I do that really made a difference? You know, I read a lot of the management books and things, and I did what I thought was reasonable. I was trained in the Air Force as an Air Force officer, how to manage situations. But what I was able to do with this group of people was to turn them around, to let them refocus how they approach life, and to really transition. What happens in most organizations when they have a turnaround, they bring in the manager comes in and brings in a whole new group of people who work with him and like them, and then they're able to do it. That's the more classical way it's done, but that's not the way that I was able to do it. And so as I discovered really how the brain works, how the process of the brain works, and kind of the attitudes that it takes to foster for success development, I discovered that's what I had been doing. And as I started to write that down, I discovered, hey, this not only applies to organizations, but to individuals. And then so I started looking at how to focus it for individuals. So, okay, God, now what is really focused for individuals? And some of the people that have used it, one guy is a fellow by the name of James. As he did it and started doing the affirmations in the book, his life literally turned around dramatically. As a matter of fact, he gave me one of the best illustrations I've heard, was he said that prior to reading the book, it was like he was a piece of paper thrown around by every wind around him. And as he started doing the affirmations in the book, all of a sudden he started becoming centered and grounded, almost like a flag attached to a flagpole. The winds were still blowing, but he wasn't moving, and he was solid, and he knew it. And it was a strange feeling for him, and he'd been somebody who'd been in church all of his life, and he says, this has made a difference for me.
You know, Don, the book is just absolutely an interesting book. Once I got into it, chapter 11 was one of my favorite chapters of the book, Understanding the Power of Right Attitude. And you tie in so eloquently and so beautifully the Bible and also your thought and paragraph. You must have given, like you said, it's been 30 years in the making, but it had to have taken you a long time to make sure that every analogy and every verse in the Bible was the way you wanted it to come across to the reader.
Oh, absolutely. I spent, I don't have a formal degree in Bible study or in from a seminary. What I have is years and years of studying the Bible, trying to apply it, learning how to apply it, understanding it, and putting it in actually how to make it do applications. How do you make this thing work? You know, God promises to us that He is the answer to everything. And then he promises us that the answer to everything is already in the Scriptures. So the issue is, how do you get it out? How do you find it? How do you apply it? That's kind of what drove me to the way that I ended up seeing it. And then when I discovered how the mind works and how the fact that many times in the Scriptures we're told commands that are long-term commands, like rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Some of these commands are really awesome in the sense that let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. How could that possibly ever be? And as I started discovering again that the mind is really divided into two parts, the conscious mind, the one that you're aware of, and that you think that you're listening to me now with. And the other one is the subconscious mind, which lies beneath the surface, and it's the one that passes up to you information and habits for you to how to react moment to moment and day by day. But it takes a long time to write things on the heart. It's not an instantaneous process. When you write things on the conscious mind, they only last for 3 to 5 days. When you write it on the subconscious mind, once it's in there, it's permanent, but then you have to attach emotions to it, and the more stronger the emotions are, the more readily those come up to you, and that's what guides you moment to moment all through the course of every day, depending on whatever's going on in your life.
You know, Don, in this day's secular attitude, where we see a further pushing of God and Christianity to the brink, to the precipice, to the cliff edge, if you will, and everybody denigrating churches and denigrating Christianity and saying, trying to get rid of it in our society. This book, absolutely, I'm amazed, and I hope it really takes a foothold and people take the time and effort to read this book, Okay, God, Now What? Have you run into any problems with the writing of this book with a secular society like we're looking at today?
Well, of course, you talk about major differences in attitudes. But for me personally, of course, as a Christian, probably the biggest difference, and it's taken me a while to realize that's what I was doing, was that I was sort of submerging myself in between the secular world, the normal business world, and then my world with the Bible and Christianity. All my life, or most of my adult life, I've been involved in Christian ministry of one kind or another and seen a lot of dramatic results. What I've discovered with Okay, God, Now What is really amazing. People, when they understand that the Bible can work, all of a sudden their attitude starts to change. A lot of the attitude in our culture really is based on the fact that it doesn't appear to work, or it's only a placebo and doesn't have the real results. But when you start seeing it work, when you start seeing the Word of God work, when you start seeing answers to prayer, then things start to change, and that's what I've experienced.
How did you, Don sent me a complete list here of all information I could ever have about this book, and along with reading the book, which I found highly enjoyable. You sent some sample questions, and one that stood out, and I wanted to ask you about, how did you get interested in slogans and affirmations and proverbs for business use?
Well, actually, it came about from a couple different directions, one of which was I was trained as an Air Force officer, and we got a super management training and how to do things. And one of the elements of management training in the military is you don't have the choice of who you have to work with. Generally, you're given a mission, and the people are assigned to you, and you have to convert or change them around to doing what needs to be done and work with them. And in the process of that, one of the things you're told to do is develop some key messages and keep repeating them. And that's really slogans or affirmations. And then proverbs are just a longer form of that kind of thing, so that you know you can ponder on a little bit more and get it into a short, concise statement that means a lot of things. And so over time, of course, and I started reading the scriptures and discovering that, for example, missionaries, when they go outside in the other parts of the world, actually use the book of Proverbs to train business people, because it's got one of the foundations of business that is just really nothing comparable to it. It's the source of all the things that we do in business. For example, the whole concept of weights and measures, a just weight and a just measure. Nobody questions it today when you get a pint jar and it says 1 pint on there, but at one time, before Christianity really started to get involved in business, it didn't matter what you, it may say 1 pint on there, but there could be anything in the jar. And something simple like that is a basic biblical concept, is a major keystone of our culture and the economy. And those all started coming together and realizing that the other part of it is that God is the one who created the concept of business and money. He's in every part of life continually all the time. So he has answers for all of life all the time. And so I couldn't say it was a single event, it was more was a gradual awareness that, hey, this all ought to fit together, and sure enough, as the more I started working with it, the more it fit together.
All right, now Don, I've got to ask you, every single person in my listening audience, and myself probably above everyone else, has got bad habits that we're trying to break, and we're trying to become better people. You have some 5 steps to breaking negative habits and possibly building better good ones. You want to share that with us, please?
Absolutely. I want to let the first part of it is I want everybody to grab a piece of paper and a pencil to write this down, because as I go through this list, I'll then tell you how to get access to it. The first one is the first key is you are today what habit seeds you've planted in your life in the past. either you planted it or other people planted it in your life. And that's what how your brain works. The subconscious mind serves up to you what's already in there from the past. So if you want to change your future, you want to change how you react in the future, you want to be more successful in your future, you've got to change what's written in your subconscious mind. And number two is, the key for that is, to me, if I'm going to deal with the players in the universe, I'm going to deal with the biggest player there is. Therefore, as a Christian, I start to deal with God in His Word and what He's displayed. And so what I have done is taken a series of scriptures from all over the Bible, put them together in called what I call the Christ Affirmations, which are in the book, Okay, God, Now What? And they address your self-identity, your health, your prosperity, your confidence, and your peace. And by using these affirmations, you can then reprogram your subconscious mind, plant different seeds to produce a wonderful, fabulous future. The third element is that success habits and affirmations are the key to everything. Part of how the subconscious mind works is by habits. We do most of the things we do by habit. 60 to 100% of what's going on at any given moment is all by habit. You're not even aware of it, most of these habits. And one of the shortcuts to breaking through bad habits and to getting into new ones is to do what the Bible calls thanksgiving, praise, and joy. As you see a situation, you remember a scripture, you go look for a scripture that applies to the situation, and you start asking God to perform that, and then you start doing the actions of thanksgiving, praise, and joy. And that starts to put the emotions to the information, writing them in your heart, and it does it in the strongest and quickest way possible. The next step is to journal. Become aware of what you're doing and the kinds of thoughts you're having, and just start writing them down. You can start very slow with taking, say, just once a week, I'm going to write down. You pick a habit or a thing that you want to attack. Suppose you have an issue with fear. You're going to start to write down, okay, when do I get afraid? What causes me to be afraid? Just only try it once a week. Then next week, try it twice a week and work your way up. You start looking at, okay, here's the times when I have this feelings of fear. And as you start to do that, start looking. My recommendation always is to go look for the scriptures, but to look at what God says about that. One of the core ones is He tells us 365 times, fear not, but trust Him. So as you look at that fear, say, okay, Lord, you've got an answer. Show it to me. And then the fifth main element is replacement with avoidance. Whatever your habit is, whatever it's going on, you're not going to replace it by trying to just avoid it. What you're going to have to, or eliminate it, you're going to have to replace what you're doing. So in the process of whatever your habit is, and of course that's why the Christ affirmations are in there, what will happen is you start using them and start writing them on your heart. As events occur, as these habits start to arise, you'll actually find yourself having new words, new affirmations coming up, telling you, here's what you ought to do now versus what you used to do in the past, and start attacking those bad habits. And so those are the five keys, is to recognize that if you're going to break a habit, you've got to replace it, not just avoid it.
You know, Don, I've heard it said, and I probably can't put it in the phraseology that's exactly the way it was said, but I've heard authors say that sometimes the best way to look into their own soul is to make a how-to book or write a how-to book, and then all of a sudden it becomes blatantly clear about how the book that they're writing actually helped them. Was that the case when you wrote this book, Okay, God, Now What, for you?
That's what you're just describing is being run over by a D-16 bulldozer, absolutely. I mean, it was, as I started to read it and discover it and see how things were going on, all kinds of things came to light for me. And, of course, the Word of God became more powerful in my life. And one of the things I mentioned was for your readers to get together their paper and pencil is, if they'll give me a call at 1-800-903-6625, that's 1-800-903-6625, I will give you free a copy of the of top 10 affirmations, which really get you started in the process of building affirmations. These allow you to get going in baby steps. They make it really easy to get going. And for the 10th caller, we have a contest, whereas the 10th caller would get a free copy of Okay, God, Now What? So again, for those who are interested and want to get a copy of this list, please contact me at 1-800-903-6625. And as you were talking about Zeb, in terms of myself looking at him, I was, one of the things I was grateful for was a lot of the good habits that have been instilled in me as I was growing up. And as an early child, I learned to very early to start to pray for people and pray for situations. What I've seen is that people who do the affirmations, as they start using them, what will happen is the way they pray will change, and their expectation from God will change, and they start seeing a lot more answers to prayer. I've had I remember one young girl who came to me, and she was so excited. Did you just see what God did? And, you know, I don't remember exactly what her situation was, but that was sort of the thing that happens to you. So your ability to believe God in to get answered prayer increases also as you do the Christ affirmations.
Absolutely. John, let me ask you this. Looking at our society today, looking at our school system, looking at our parental guidance, look at parental responsibility, are you optimistic? Can we turn this thing back kind of to the Norman Rockwell painting on a Saturday Evening Post? Can we bring it back to a slogan I use on my program, the way things were or the way things ought to be, or have we gone too far?
I don't think we've ever gone too far. The power of the Word of God is immeasurable. It's backed by God himself. And I think that the situations we see in our world today are such that everybody's stressed. Everybody's looking for answers. What I've found is that most of the answers people look for are very short-term and don't last very long. You have to write them on your heart and to make a difference. And so people are getting more involved. Actually, the 90% of the people believe that there is a God, that he cares, in spite of some of the other numbers. That's the latest survey polls, that roughly 30% of those read the Bible on a daily basis. So the information is getting there. Science, the thing that rocked it for me was that the science was proving how it works. In other words, we've been commanded in the scriptures, for example, rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice. Or let your moderation be known to all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication, make your request known unto God. We've been told those things, and we've looked at them and says, okay, that's nice. But now what we've discovered is by people who do those same things in sports, for example, becomes top athletes. People who do those things as airline pilots become top airline pilots. Doctors who do those same things become top doctors. We're learning the mechanics that God has always said to do. He didn't tell us the mechanics of how it works, but he told us what to do. And if you do the right things, you get the right results. That's one of the other major key elements is you get what you've done. If you aren't doing something different, then you're going to continue to get what you've been doing. If you want to improve what you're getting, you have to do one of two things. Get better at what you're doing or do different things. And I think that the net result is that's happening in America today.
One last thought here in regards to our society, and then I've got to run for today, and I'm going to have you back again in the future, but what about our youth? I'm not talking about the kids in elementary or high school. I'm talking about younger people, like, say, college age, 19 to 25. They're turning against not only religion, but turning against society. They want everything basically handed to them. They've been preached to that they are deserved to get this, that, or the other. How do we approach these people with an attitude of responsibility?
Actually, the amazing thing is going to sound rather wacky to some people. It's actually dealing with the supernatural God in the way he's described in the Bible. You know, that talks about the believers lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Well, what happens is people that use the Christ affirmation start believing God enough and start doing it, they lay hands on the sick and they recover. We've seen people who are blind, their eyes open. We've seen people who couldn't walk, walking. We've seen all kinds of things change as a result of that. So when you take a young child, or actually a young adult of any kind, and start showing them, here's how the Bible works, here's how God works, here's how to make it happen, they start doing that, then they start becoming grounded in different in a different way, and they become fully turned on. And when you understand that what you do makes a difference, what you do counts, and you can see the results in immediate healings and other answers to prayer, that changes the game entirely for these kids.
I want to say how grateful I am that you would come on the program, and I've only got a minute left here in this segment, Don, but tell everybody, okay, God, now what? How do they get a copy of this book? Where can they go find it?
Okay, the quickest way to get the copy of Okay, God, Now What is to go to the website called Okay, it's two letters, okaygodnowwhat.com, and you can look at the book trailer there and click on it. The most important thing you want to do, I think, for most people who aren't used to doing this kind of discipline, is to contact me at 1-800-903-6625. That's 1-800-903-6625. And request a copy of the top 10 affirmations, and if you're the 10th caller, you'll get a free copy of the book. That's the other way to get it.
All right. Don, I certainly appreciate and respect you coming on the program again, talking about your great book, Okay, God, Now What? And please come back in the future, and we wish you God's blessings. Thank you so much.
Oh, same to you and all the listeners. God bless to you all.
Thank you, sir. Have a wonderful day. Very, very interesting book, and believe me, a lot of...